I think the big question this morning, because we're going to be talking about the worthiness of Jesus, the big question this morning really is Jesus worth giving my all to? Is he worth my devotion? Is he worth my obedience? Is he worth my faithfulness? Is he worth the sacrifices that we do have to make in our lives? Is he worth the pain and effort to overcome the pull of this world around me? Is Jesus really worth seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Is he worthy? Is he worthy? And we have an action-packed, I love action movies, but we have an action-packed two chapters here to look at. I read the first chapter to you at the beginning of the service. This action-packed of what is going on around the very throne room of God, and what happens as we begin the scrolls. Remember, seven scrolls, seven seals, seven trumpets. What happens as that first scroll is revealed and Jesus enters as the very Lamb of God? Now, three C's. So context, content, and contribution. So we're on the context now, and the context is we've had the first vision. Yeah, we've had the first vision. John now comes into a second vision experience. Remember, his first vision included seeing and hearing the risen, glorified Christ, which was a phenomenal vision. And then he was given all these information, these letters to write to the churches. And then we move swiftly into the content. You've had enough background from me in the last two sermons to know more context and background. But that first phrase sometimes confuses people, because it actually says in verse 1 of chapter 4 in Revelation, says, after these things I saw. And some people think, well, we've just had all the letters to the churches, so after the church age, this is what's going to happen. But we have forgotten again that this is not a chronological book. Yeah, this is a topical book. And therefore, it's not at the end of the church age. These seals and trumpets and scrolls, they overlap. Okay? And I don't know about you, I am a huge football fan. And in terms of football, you get to see from many different angles the goal. Yeah? So quite often you start from the halfway line, are they offside or not? And so from a distance you get to see what's actually going on. And then you can actually see them score the goal. But then they seem to go from the left side and have a look at what's going on there and see. And then you get from the right side, but you don't start from the halfway line in that one. And then you even get behind the goal. And sometimes I've seen six, seven or eight views. You know, in other words, there's lots of different angles, i.e. topics, that we can look at. So don't get confused, or don't muddle up, do you know what I mean, the act of this is not after the church age. This is just part and parcel of a different view of what is going on. And like Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:2, John is caught up to the third heaven. Now, I'm not convinced there's three heavens. I think three is a Hebrew number here, or a Greek number that means something different. But anyway, he's caught up to heaven. This is the place, remember, heaven is a place where God dwells, where God is on the throne. When the disciples asked where the kingdom of heaven was, where did Jesus say it was? Within you. One of Andy's favorite verses of mine. It's within us. So if we have Jesus on the throne in our lives, then the very throne room of God is something we access not out here, but within here. Do you see that? It's within us. Christ is in us. The Holy Spirit is within us. And this is the place, any place where God reigns, is declared as king, is the heavenly realms. And to be honest with you, it's the most amazing place. A place where we are blessed. A spiritual reality of the presence of God and the place where he reigns. Isn't that amazing? And listen to Ephesians 1:3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Remember, the whole point of this series and the whole point of Revelation is to bless us. Yes. And so the point of entering this very throne room of God is to be blessed by the worship and worthiness of Jesus this morning. That's our title. As we enter the very throne room of God, we will be blessed by worshiping and the worthiness of Jesus. Does that make sense? Yeah? And hopefully already you feel blessed. because we've sung and recognized that we are seated in heavenly realms with Christ now. It's not a future thing, it's a now thing. And so we come to what's in the very heart, what's in the center of this vision. In other words, what's in the very center of the kingdom of God? And in the very center of the kingdom of God is the throne of God. Now, the throne of God is mentioned 37 times. Thrones are mentioned 41 times in Revelation, but 37 times in the book of Revelation. It's telling you this is what goes on around and in the throne room of God. And God is revealing. Remember, the whole point of Revelation means to reveal. He's revealing, unveiling more about his kingdom that has no end. That is good news, guys. Yeah, you can get enthusiastic with me this morning. God is king. Christ is the King of Kings, and we are in this kingdom as kings. We are a royalty who reign with him, seated right now in these heavenly realms. At the moment, yes, we live in this fallen world, but we know the future. We will rule and reign with him in a new heaven, a new earth, where there is no sin, where there is no sickness, no disease. And to me, I do actually find it comforting to know that the ultimate reality, the eternal God, is on the throne of everything in this universe. And, you know, you may be thinking, oh my goodness, this massive throne, all this stuff going on around it. Oh my, I can't enter. You know, just as you're probably not invited into the very throne room of our present king. But this is the opposite. This is, you know, John saying, I'm seeing this. And Jesus said, I'm revealing this because I want you to come in. I do not want you to cower and hide away, but I want you to willingly say, yeah, actually, I'm willing to come under your authority, Lord, because I want this reign of love and grace and mercy and righteousness, peace and justice. I want to be under that kind of rule and reign. I watched some of a series in Netflix. It won some awards. Has anyone heard of it, The Power? No. I thought it'd be interesting to watch it because, the women get the power. And they get this electrical charge in their hands, and then they basically can overrun, you know, the men who've been trafficking them, men who've been abusing them. Do you know what I mean? In other words, they have the power to overcome. But what absolutely gutted me, and what I thought, well, this is true, it doesn't matter whether men or women are in power, they're sinful. They're sinful. I don't want to be under the reign of women or men. I want to be under the reign of a God who has no sin. That's the point of holy, isn't it? Holy means there is no sin in him. He's a safe person. This is a kingdom of love, of mercy, of righteousness, of peace, and of justice. So let's talk about some of the symbols here. Remember, this is an apocalyptic book, which means that there's symbols, and some of them are quite sort of massive symbols and pictures, and the idea is to say, hey, wake up, this is what these things mean. And symbolism of the, if you have jewelry, you know, jasper, ruby, emeralds, we have here, it's of God's beauty and his transcendence. In other words, we're trying to say, hey, all around his throne is glory. And then you've got this amazing full and complete circle of a rainbow. Now, the answer's up there, but where do you first hear about a rainbow in Scripture? Yeah? Yeah, good. You've all had your Sunday school class about Noah and the rainbow that comes. But this is a full and complete rainbow around the very throne of God. And it's a sign of God's covenant. Remember, that was the point of the rainbow. And a promise of his mercy in judgment and his complete faithfulness. So we've got this transcendent, glorious God. I'm really hoping you're going to imagine this morning. And then we've got this full circle of an amazing covenant that is there. And then we also have thunder and lightning. Isn't that just so cool? Do you know what I mean? This is not a quiet place, the throne room of God. I'm sure there's quiet places in heaven, don't panic. But this is one heck of a noisy place. There's thunder and lightning, and this actually represents, again, let's not make up what it represents, just to look at Scripture. Remember, we look at previous Scriptures and say, what does it represent? And it represents the power to judge your enemies. And you'll find that in Exodus 9, verses 23 to 28, and Isaiah 29, verse 6. And this time, there's also seven lamps in front of the throne. But remember, it's not lampstands. Do you remember what lampstands mean? Churches, well done. Yeah. So lampstands are the churches, but here we don't have to guess what the lamps mean because it tells us in Scripture. It says these seven lamps are the seven spirits of God. So as you recognize you can boldly walk into the very throne room of God this morning, there is available to you revelation. What do you need revelation about? There is available to you wisdom, because these are what the seven spirits of God are. There is available to you right now knowledge and understanding. Counsel. Yeah? The greatest counselor ever is the Holy Spirit. There is might to face the things that maybe you need strength in, as well as the fear of the Lord. In other words, understanding truly who he is. It's awe. Don't think of fear, think of awe. That's what's available to you right now as you're seated in heavenly realms. Do you want to access that? Yeah? Yeah, some of you do. Praise God. Right. And God is in the center. Everything revolves around him. He is surrounded by a sea of glass so that everything perfectly mirrors his glory back to him. It's phenomenal. You know, it's a little bit gutting, maybe if you don't, some of you don't realize this. I think some children don't realize this, that the world does not revolve around them. It is, the world revolves around God. To be honest with you, sometimes I feel like the world does need to revolve around my pain and my suffering, my wants and my needs. But that isn't the reality. The reality is that the world revolves around the very throne room of God. So that's the very center of the vision. And then around this center is the 24 elders, the 12. Now, there's a few things here that I think are different to our friend Nancy, who we use in her book from Blessed You Choose. I don't mind what you choose. But she talks about these 24 elders representing the 12 patriarchs of the Old Testament and the 12 apostles of the New Testament. The totality, in other words, of redeemed humanity from both the Old and New Covenants. And I can understand where you get that from because of the number 24, or maybe it's the totality of humanity. But I think that they are angels, as when they speak, they do not include themselves amongst the redeemed. So you find that this is what they say in Revelation 5, verses 9 to 10. It says, and the elders sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. And it says, you have made them, not us. Do you see the difference? You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. So my understanding is that the 24 elders are angels, the angelic realm, because they do not have the privilege of salvation and redemption. They don't know what it feels like. They marvel at it and they celebrate, but they don't know what it feels like because they're the angelic realm. And again, I slightly disagree with the meaning of our friend Nancy in the four living creatures. Again, it still marvels at who they are and what they do, but we've got these four living creatures around the throne who are covered with eyes and with six wings. Now, a very similar picture of this, again, remember we interpret from previous scriptures, a very similar picture is given of these four living creatures in Ezekiel 1:5. And so when I look at that in Ezekiel 1:5, they are described as the cherubim, as again the angelic realms. Now, Nancy writes that, you know, these four living creatures represent the different animals and man on the earth. But I think that they are the cherubim. And I think because they have been gazing on God for eternity, they have begun to reflect the person they gaze upon. They're gazing upon the Son of Man. They're gazing upon the Lion of Judah. They're gazing upon the oxen that carries our burdens. Remember, Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And we know that an eagle represents, it's a symbolism of one of the birds that can fly up to 3,000 meters high. They're one of the highest flyers and can see phenomenal distances. And so the eagle represents seeing all from the highest perspective. So to me, these four cherubim, as they're described as cherubim in Ezekiel 1:5, are the angelic realm who've begun to reflect who God is. Because remember, if we gaze upon somebody so long, I mean, you must have seen it with children. Do you know what I mean? You gaze upon them or you do something, they mimic you, they copy you, yeah? Have the same expressions as you. As you gaze upon somebody, you become like them. That's what Scripture says about God. What we are witnessing this morning is the greatest worship celebration ever experienced. And as the elders lay down their crowns and recognize God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it's one heck of a party. It's one heck of a celebration. But what are they celebrating? They are celebrating God's holiness. He's a safe place. They are celebrating his almightiness. Not just mighty, he's almighty. They're celebrating his worthiness, his majesty, his glory, his creation and power. Due all the honor. He is the one who was and is to come. And these four living creatures and 24 elders cannot stop expressing who God is through praise and worship. What a party. What an invitation to come into that very throne room of God this morning. That's just chapter 4. But chapter 5 is a little bit more, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Because a mighty angel asks, who is worthy to break the 7 seals and open the scroll? The scroll of God's plans established before the foundation of the world. His plans for justice through righteous judgment. That's the key, righteous judgment for our salvation. And they are sealed, these scrolls, they're sealed because they are complete and cannot be altered. And if you actually read chapter 5, you'll find that John is just weeping. He's just crying. He's just saying, oh no, nobody is worthy to open the scrolls. And then suddenly it's like, Jesus is. Good. Some of you are getting into this. Jesus is. He appears as a slain lamb, still bearing the scars of his suffering, with the 7 horns, a symbol of strength and power and salvation. Jesus is worthy. In this very throne room of God, where the scrolls are there, he is about to open them. Why? Because he is worthy. Are you getting the picture of what we're invited into this morning? We're invited into the very throne room of God, where he sits at the very center, and he is worshipped by 24 elders. He is worshipped by the angelic realm. And they have discovered and they are so excited and they're cheering on because he is worthy to open the scroll. Let's finish off. Revelation 5 verse 11 to 14 says, then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. And they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and in a loud voice they were saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped God. And they sang a new song of the worthiness, the unique worthiness of Christ to open the scroll. Why is he worthy? He's worthy because out of love for us, while we were still sinners, Jesus Christ, who is fully human and fully God, was slain for us. He is worthy because his very blood purchased our salvation, our cleansing, and frees us from sin and death so that we can be righteous. And remember, the point is so that we can connect by the Holy Spirit again to Abba Father through the Holy Spirit. He freely and lovingly ransomed himself for all humanity, Whether you believe in him or not, that makes no difference. He is real. He is there. He is seated in his throne, and the whole of creation revolves around him. And Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension made us a kingdom of priests to our God for ministry and mission, enabling us to reign with him, giving us purpose and a restored identity, the ability to be new creations in Christ. They're singing, they're excited, because he is worthy to open the scroll and unveil God's plans and purposes for humanity. I hope you're really excited about the next few chapters in Revelation, because we're at a really exciting point, yeah? So you'll have to wait till next week to discover the next few weeks what is actually happening as the scrolls are opened. But I do pray that from Revelation 1 to 5 that you have just encountered the glorified Christ. You have encountered the one who is worthy. You have encountered the very God on the throne, and we join with the angels and elders and four living creatures to praise this wonderful, amazing Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So what's the contribution to my life? Well, last week, remember, the challenge was to regain our first love, or to wake up or repent or anything that's hindering us reflecting the glory of God, to get rid of that, to discard that. But this week, I wonder, does something need to change about the way we approach worship? Or as we've gone through this, was there some new aspect of God, maybe Father, Son, or Holy Spirit, maybe the seven spirits, that we need to include in our thanksgiving and praise? I actually believe, you remember it says pray continually. I actually think we can live in that permanent state of praising God and praying continually. Why? Because if you stay connected with him, you're in that state of worship and prayer. And so can we, in Paulbrook Brooks Baptist Church, and any visitors you're welcome to too, can we live in this perpetual state of worship, encountering God's kingdom and every spiritual blessing available to us in the heavenly realms, and pass it on? You see, I think our greatest challenge, I agree totally with Nancy Guthrie, our greatest challenge is not understanding, because I pray that you've had a clear picture this morning of Revelation 4 and 5. It's not understanding the book of Revelation, but to take it to heart and to put it into practice. What will you put into practice this week? What will you take away from Revelation 4 and 5 today? And what will you put into practice today?